We will begin by quoting the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah speaks about being misaken, a mavui, in order to do a malacha of hoitzah on Shabbos. You have a mavui, you want to do something to it, so you should be able to carry within the mavui. So there's a machlekes. Beis Shammai says in order to matir the mavui, you need both a lechi and a kaira. According to Beis Hillel, you need either a lechi or a kaira. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, you need shtei lechayayim. Daf Yud Beis. La'alacha we paskin that by a mavui, you need only a lechi echad. You need only one lechi to be matirit. However, in a chatzir, as we've said, a chatzir is more chumerdik than a mavui. In a chatzir, you need shtei lechayayim. And according to Shmuel, a lechi echad, which is more than four tvachim wide, is also good even for a chatzir. We also know that while a kaira in a mavui helps, a kaira never helps in a chatzir. So in a chatzir, depending on who you hold, that will determine what we need actually in a chatzir. But surely a kaira never helps at all in a chatzir. And the Gemara talks about the minimum width of a mavui that requires a lechi. And we say the minimum width of a mavui that requires a lechi is four tvachim. If it's got less than four tvachim, then it's completely putter from anything. Then the Gemara brings down a question of a lishayin yam. Lishayin yam is like a tongue of the sea, meaning to say that water comes spilling up into a chatzer. So are we able to be matir that or not? So we say, if it spills into that type of chatzer, we can be matir it with one lechi. Why should we be matir it with one lechi? We know that we normally say that in a chatzer you need two lechayayim, so how come here we say that we're matir it with one lechi? So the Gemara answers that the Rabbanan had a special kula by a case of mayim in a special case of a hanging mechitza, a mechitza teluya. And this can be seen in the Sefer Perush Chai in picture number 160, that ein mechitza teluya mutaris ela b'mayim. And this is speaking about an area of a churva specifically. Then the Gemara talks about a l'shayin yam ha'nichnas l'chatzer. We say that it is mutter to carry within the chatzer itself, but not from the chatzer into the house. And this whole heter that we say is mutter to carry within the chatzer, that's only if there's at least 10 tvachim of a remnant at the bottom of the schurva. Otherwise it's not even mutter at all to carry within the chatzer. The Gemara then says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, mavui shalai asa shitufei mevayas. You didn't make a shitufei mevayas with the chatzeris that lead into it. We say that that particular mavoi is mutter, hechshiru belechi. As long as you have a lechi there, it's mutter. Bahazarek l'seiche, let's say you throw something into it, you're putter. Why is that? Because this lechi is considered like a mechitza gemura, and it is misakin, this rishus, to be able to carry within it. However, im hechshiru bekaira, let's say you were matter it with a kaira, and hazarek l'seiche, and then you throw something into it, then you're chayef. Because a kare is not considered a machitza, but a kare is considered a heker. And since it's not a machitza, it cannot, since it's a heker and it's not a machitza, it cannot be misaken a rishus. Daf Yud Gimel. We say that Rabbi Akiva used to praise the pshatim of his talmidim so they would be motivated to want to excel more and more. This is Tran and Rashi. Then we bring down a machlaikis if it's mutter to put kankantum, which is copper sulfite, in the Diyai when you write a Sefer Torah. And this is a machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. And we say that Rameir was a shamish by both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. And there's a dispute here over exactly who said what, whether kankantum is mutter or whether it's usser. The Gemara then says, Mechaser ois, ayim yaser ois b'sefer Torah. If you leave out a letter or you add a letter to a Sefer Torah, ki ilu mecharev es kol ha'ilam. It's as if you destroyed the entire world. Then we then have a machlokes if a Megillah Saita, which is written for one woman, is mutter to use afterwards for another woman. This specifically is dealing with a case where they actually wrote a Megillah Saita, for example, for Rachel, and then right at the last minute she admitted that she did something wrong, so therefore you don't have to go through this process anymore. Now are you allowed to use it for Leah? According to Rabacha Bar Oishia, you are. Then the Gemara brings down a similar case to this. Regarding giving your wife a get. Kasav lagarish ishistai, the nimlach. A person had in mind, he wrote a get to be Megarish, his wife, and then he changed his mind. Umatsu ben Irai, he found somebody in the city, V'amar Shimcha Kishmi V'Shem Ishtacha Kishem Ishti. It just so happened that his name was the same as somebody else in the city, and his wife's name was the same as this other person's wife in the same city. So we say in that case, you're not allowed to use this get for this other man, so he could be Megarish, his wife. Why? Because the Pasuk says, V'Kasav La, Sefer Krisus. Specifically it says, V'Kasav La, which means it has to be written Lishma exactly for the person that it was intended for. Even if Moshe is married to Rachel, and there's another Moshe who's married to another Rachel within the same city, that's not good enough. We see this from the Pasuk of V'Kasav La and Dvarim Chaf Dalet. Be'inen Ksiva Lishma. It has to be written Lishma. Masha'en came by Saita. Saita, we say, is different. Because by Saita, that case might be mutter, as is the case we said before. Why? Because the key here, that the asiyas mechika has to be lishma. When you erase the letters into the mayim ha-ma'arim, that's what has to be lishma. But the ksiva doesn't necessarily have to be lishma. Therefore, by saita, you would be allowed to use it for someone else. That's the nafgamina between saita and get. We then say that remeir naharai shemai, v'nikra lai remeir mishum shemayr enai Chachamim, Eine Chachamim Bahalacha. Remeir was the Gadol Hadar, but he was so great, we don't paskin like him, because the klal, all the people, weren't on his madrega in order to accept his views. But he was the Talmud Chacham at that time, that's why they called him Remeir, because he opened up the eyes of the Chachamim in Halacha. The Gemara then brings down, Shleish Hashanim Nechalku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. 3 years was a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. V'yatza baskal, v'yomer, she'elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Both the words of Beis Hillel and the words of Beis Shammai are divrei Elokim chayim. We actually apply this to every machlekes, that really in every machlekes, both sides of the machlekes are correct, but sometimes the people of the generation are not right to accept, or not right to really understand, or be in the madrega of one side of the machlekes. But this baskal, also paskan da'alocha, is like Beis Hillel in all cases. Why was it that Beis Hillel was zeicha, that we paskin like him in all these cases? So the Gemara gives a number of terutzim. Because they were very modest. And also, because whenever they used to talk about the pshatim in halacha, before they would say their own pshatim, i.e. Beis Hillel, when they would discuss their pshatim, first they would quote the Divrei Beis Shammai, then they would quote their own words, and because they were so fine, therefore we paskin all the halachas like Beis Hillel. The Gemara then says, "Kol ha-meshafel atzmai HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbihai." Any person that lowers himself, in other words, in anivus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu raises him up. And so it is vice versa. If a person is constantly a big shot and raises himself high, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lowers him down. We then say, "Kol ha-nitcha mipnei shah." Any person who has patience, shah, I met this light. Eventually the time comes, and the patience ends up paying off. Tanu Rabbanan, shtei shanim ha-mechza nekvogu Beis Shammai u-Beis Hillel. Two and a half years, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued, if it was good that man was created, the Gamru, and they ended up paskening, Nayach le'la adam shalai nivra yoyser mishanivra. It would have been better off if man would have not have been created. But achshav shenivra yafashvesh b'maisav. Now that a person was created, he should be very careful in his ways and look carefully into what he does. V'yesh oimrim yamashmesh. Shot here is that he should search his past deeds, or he should carefully examine what it is that he's about to do. And Rashi says a person should weigh the current benefits versus the costs of doing a mitzvah, or the potential cost that a person would pay for doing an avera, and that way a person would not come to do averas. We then have a Mishnah that says a kare has to be a tefach wide, and it has to be strong enough to be mekabel and ariach, to be able to hold onto a stone. Rabbi Yehuda says all you need that should be is a tefach wide, but this whole thing about bria doesn't apply. He holds the klal of rayin. You actually look at it. Rayin means you just look to see whether if it's tefach wide or not. How strong it actually is does not come into play at all. And then he extends this klal of rayin to a number of other things. Akuma, rayin aysai ki ilu pshuta. If a kaira is bent, we look at it and view it as if it was straight. Agula, if it was a circle, rayin aysai ki merubas. We look at it as if it was a square. The Gemara Mishnah ends off, Kol sheyesh ba keifai shleisha tvachim, yesh ba reichav tefach. If something has a circumference of 3 tvachim, we view it as if it's got a width of a tefach. And this is an approximation of pi, which is 3.14, which is basically the circumference divided by the diameter of a circle. Daf Yod Daled. We then have a Mishnah that says a kara has to be strong, but the mamide of the kara, the pegs which end up holding the kara, do not have to be strong enough to be mekabel both the kara and the brick. Before we had said that the kara has to be strong enough to hold the brick, but the pegs don't have to be strong enough to hold both the kara and a brick. Then we have a special case. Haniach kara agabi mavui. Let's say a person puts a kara on top of the mavui, on top. Uparas aleha machatzelas. And then a person puts a curtain that hangs over the kara. So really the kara, if it was by itself, would be fine. But once you put the curtain on top, if this curtain comes down to the ground within 3 tvachim of the ground, then everything is fine. But if it does not fall within 3 tvachim of the ground, but the bottom of the curtain is higher than 3 tvachim from the ground, then the whole thing is pasul. Because we say, gediyim baikimba. Now, the gediyim, as we had a klal before, dealing with lovewood and a number of other things, that once it's within, not within 3 tvachim of the ground, the gediyim, the little lambs, could actually walk right through it. And that takes it out of the klal of mechitza. Let's say a person has 2 narrow kairos parallel with one another. As long as they total a full tefach, it's also okay. And here comes the klal of lovud. Because once they total a full tefach, as long as they're within 3 tvachim of each other, then it's considered kasha. Obviously, if they're more than 3 tvachim apart, then it's not good either. We then say the yam sha'asa shleima, which was in Eretz Yisrael, was big enough to hold 150 kashara mikvahs. And a mikvah is equal to 40 saw. How do we know this? Because it says, V'rachatz kol b'saray b'amayim. Amal ama b'rum shel amas. They measured what a person is, how much it would take for a person to cover up his entire body with water. And they came to the calculation of 40 saw. And we also say that this pool, the Yam Shel Shleima, was a round pool. The Gemara then says, a square is 25% more space than a circle. So if you put a circle inside of a square, the 4 corners, which now exist as a result of the cutoff of the circle within the square, will total a total area of 25% more than the square that the circle is within. The Gemara then says a kliyetz cannot be carried. Kliyetz which cannot be carried if it was full. In other words, a kliyetz which holds 40 saw of water, which is now so heavy that it cannot be carried, it cannot be mekabel tuma. The specific cases here are Sheda Teva Umigdal. We then say that a lechi has to be 10 tvachim high. However, when you're dealing with the width of a lechi can be as wide as afilu kolshehu, and this is even kechut hasarbel, even if it's very, very thin as a small piece of string that is used to tie a beged with. Rabbi Yossi holds that a lechi has to be at least 3 tvachim wide. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi, but we paskin that a lechi can be as thin as a kol shehu. Then we have a case of a lechi that is halfway into a mavui. It's not standing right at the entrance to the mavui, but you have to walk into the mavui, and then the lechi is there. In that kind of a case, only the part of the mavui that is beyond the lechi is kosher to carry in. Anything before that point, you're not allowed to carry in. Rava then brings down, Asa lechi v'higbiya min akarka yaisa migimel. If you put a lechi up to be able to carry within this mavui, and the bottom of the lechi is now higher than 3 tvachim from the floor, it's possible, because of the klal we said, gediyim baikimba. And if liga min akaisel gimel, if it's more than 3 tvachim away from the wall, then it's also possible for the same reason. The Shulchan Aruch Rav brings that this doesn't matter whether it's 3 tvachim away from the wall, or 3 tvachim inward, or 3 tvachim off to the side. In any of those cases, as he paskins in Shin Samach Gimel, it would be possible. We also paskin that the halacha is not like the chumrah of Rabbi Yossi by lechi. However, we paskin that it can be even a kolshu, and the halacha is also not like Rabbi Yossi in the case of hilmi, which is the salt water brought down in Shan Masechet Shabbos on Daf Kuf Ches. Daf Tes Vav. A lechi that just happens to be there, Aymed Me'elav, it wasn't specially put up there, but it just happens to be standing there, and it happens to be, appears to be kosher. According to Abaya, this lechi is kosher. According to Rava, this lechi is not kosher. And we also have the same machlokes by mechitzas. However, the Gemara says that if they were originally made or grown for this purpose, even according to Rava, it would be okay. And if the other side is, and if no one had in mind before Shabbos to use them on Shabbos, even according to Abaya, it would be no good. We see a similar case by Oisa Sukase Bein Ha'ilanis. The Ilan could act as a daifin, as a wall for the Sukkah. We also say that it's kosher, just like Abaya. The Maskana is that the Gemara is only by Lechi, it's not by Mechitzas. And Rava says, Lechi is Mishum Heker, therefore you need special Kavana. According to Abaya, Lechi is Mishum Mechitza. Therefore, as we see on Daf Yud Beis, therefore it doesn't matter. If it was Eimed Me'elov, it's fine also. And here we paskin, just like Abaya, this is one of the Ya'al Kigam, which is one of the six places in Shas where we paskin like Abaya. And the Lamed, Ya'al Kigam, stands for Lechi. So here, even if it's Eimed Me'elov, it's kosher anyway, just like Abaya. We then discuss the union of being Kaina Shvisa in a number of different places. Let's say a person is Kaina Shvisa. We know that on Shabbos a person is only allowed to walk up to 2,000 Amos from his Makam Shvisa, the Gabi, the din of Erev Tchumin. If a person is Kaina Shvisa on top of a tail, on top of a big hill, which is more than 10 Tvachim tall, or in a Neka, or in a valley, which is lower than 10 Tvachim, or in a Kaima Keduma, Kemuda, which is a field which is surrounded by stalks that are more than 10 tefachim tall, they're all considered like one big Rishus HaYachid. Therefore, he now has 2,000 amas within his tchum from the end of this particular Rishus, not from the point of where he's standing. This is actually a kula, because if this field is very big, he can now walk as far as to the end of the field, where all these stalks are standing, and then he can walk 2,000 amas from that point, not just from his makam, Amida. We then have a Mishnah which says that anything can be used for a lechi, even a living animal. Rameir says that you can't use a living thing. And it's brought down that a living animal, which is used for a temporary kisui lakever, a goylo, it's metame ba'ayel even after removal. Rameir says that it's tar, since a balchai can't be used as a cover for a grave at all. Also, we say a person can write a get on a living animal, on a balchai, and give it to his wife. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we say you're not allowed to do this. And the Gemara brings down, according to Rabbi Meir, you can't use a living thing or a living animal for a lechi, because he holds, kol mechitza ha'emedes beruach chayim eina mechitza. The only reason this mechitza or this lechi is able to stand at all is because it has life. Otherwise, the thing would just completely fall down. Therefore, that's why he holds you're not allowed to use something which is living. A get can be written on anything, however. Since the Pasuk says, V'kasav la v'nasan. This is a riboy. The v'nasan is a riboy to come to include everything, even a balchai. But Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that the Pasuk says, Sefer. Sefer krisis. Sefer is coming to be m'mayit, kol davar sheyesh boy ruach chayim. We then have a Mishnah that says a caravan, which got stuck in a valley, and wants to create a Rishus Hayachid, so people can carry within a large area. They should build a mechitza with a combination of animals, saddles, etc. However, all these different things that create this encampment, the circle around the shiara, the caravan of people, has to be more than 10 tefachim high. Number two, it has to be Eimed Meruba al Haparetz. And number three, no one pirza can be more than 10 amas wide. Then we have a question. Let's say the mechitzas and the pirza are exactly equal. In other words, pirz is ka'emet. This is a machlekes Rav Papa and Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua. Rav Papa says it's okay, Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua says it's no good. Daftas Zayin. We then bring down the details of shalosh midos, different midos, different measurements by a mechitzas kelayim. And these are all rayas, different rayas which come to prove either Rav Papa or Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua, which we said before, in the case of Paretz Kaimit. Then the Gemara brings down, Kol Shehu Pachas Mishleisha. If you have a number of sticks, vertical sticks which are standing, which are less than 3 tvachim thick, then as long as there is not 3 tvachim between any of the 3, you can use these as a lechi, but if there's more than 3, this is of course Lavud again, but if again there's more than 3 tvachim between any of them, it's pasul, because gdiyim, vaikim, ba. Let me have a machlokes exactly what is lavud. According to the Rabbanan, you have up to gimel tvachim, and it's loy bichlal, loyad bichlal, does not include three tvachim exactly. Shimon ben Gamliel says up to four tvachim. And we say by kelayim, afilu the Rabbanan, armaida, that you get up to dalat tvachim is fine. Afilu beparetz meruba. We end up paskening like Rav Papa, which we said before, that paretz is ka'imid. If it's paretz ka'imid, it's okay. And we have a Mishnah that talks about a horizontal fence, which is more than 10 tvachim tall. These are many fences you see today in backyards, and these fences have a number of horizontal beams. So if it's more than 10 tvachim tall, as long as there's lavud, as long as it's not more than 3 tvachim between each of the horizontal pieces of the fence, it's okay. This is called a mechitza shel erif. Then we have the opposite case, which is a vertical fence, a fence of a number of vertical kanim, a number of vertical poles, again more than 10 tvachim tall. As long as there is less than 3 tvachim between each of these small poles, again we say lavud, and it's okay, and this is a mechitza shel shesi. We then bring down the very complicated klal of avira de haigisa, of avira de haigisa, umuvatale. There are a lot of different pshatim in this, and it's a very complex case, twist on the case that we mentioned before of the horizontal fence. This is speaking about if there is more than 3 tvachim on two sides of one of the ropes, or on one of the pieces of the fence. So the way the Rashba explains this, what you have is Aymed Meruba ala paretz mishtet stadim leishmei Aymed, meaning to say, if you look at what's above the top rope, above the top rope you have an unlimited amount of distance between that and the sky. Then what ends up coming below the top rope is more than 3 tvachim. So in total, if you add the two up together, you end up having more than the distance of lavud. And now the whole fence is not 10 tvachim anymore, because you can't count the part just below the top of the rope because there's more than lavud. So you have the klal of avir dehaigisa one side, the avir dehaigisa the other side, and mevatel, and it's mevatel the whole thing. So together they combine to pasel it. Ayin b'sefer Perush Chai for a more detailed explanation of the different studim and all the different pshatim regarding this pshat. We then have a discussion of Shesi v'Arev, the fences that we said before. Is this case that we speak about only by a shiara, of a caravan of at least 3 people, or for example a carpool, or even for a yachid, a person who's traveling alone? There's this whole hatter of making this fence all the way around so you can carry within this area. Who is that for? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the maskana is that for a yachid, it can only help up to a total distance of Beis Asayim, which is 70 Amos. But for a shiara, it can be called sarka, it can be as big as you want it. The Chachamim say, anyone can make it as big as he wants, and even, not only that, even if he's not traveling, even if a person wants to do this in their backyard and do it at home, he can make this partition all the way around as big of an area as he wants. We pass him like Rabbi Yehuda, that for a yachid it can be up to Beis Asayim, for a shiara it can be called sarcha, but we extend this heter for non-travelers too. So even if you're not traveling, you can do the same type of thing also. Daf Yud Zayin. We then ask, what if the situation changes? This case of shiara. Let's say there were 3 people in the shiara, but one person died. Or there were 2 people, and then in the middle of Shabbos, a third person came to make it like a shiara, like a caravan. So that's a machlokes between Rabbi Yitzchak and Rav Huna. One says it's no good because Shabbos Geremes, in other words, Knisa Shabbos Geremes, whatever it was when we came into Shabbos, similar to the klal, which we had in Masechta Shabbos of Migud Diskatzoy LeBein HaShmashos, Diskatzoy LeKulo Yoyma. We look at what's going on during the Bein HaShmashos, and that's what matters. And one says, the urine garmin, depending on how many people are there, that's what matters. So the Gemara answers, we look at what it was when Shabbos started, therefore we pass him like Rav Huna, and therefore Shabbos, Hayel V'Hutra Hutra, whatever the situation was when Shabbos came in, there were enough people at that point, becomes like a Shiyara, as we see by the case of Nistam HaPesach Derech Chalayim. We then have a Mishnah that says, Arba Dvarim Patrum in Lachemes Rishus, there are 4 things that people who are going out to fight in the Lachemes Rishus are Pateran. One is that they're allowed to be mevi'in eitzim mikol makom. They're allowed to bring eitzim from anywhere and not have to worry about that it was stolen from somebody's personal property. They're also pater from the tilas yadayim, from demai, and from eruve chatzeros. Then we speak about meis mitzvah. What is considered a meis mitzvah? The Gemara says, kol she'ein lo kaivrin, anybody who doesn't have anybody to bury him. And if we find a meis mitzvah somewhere lying in the middle of a field, he's kaina mekaime, which means he's kaina that particular place, and you can bury him right then and there. However, the exception to this is if a person dies right in the middle of the road, then you're allowed to move him to the side. And this is because, of course, a road would create problems for kahanim who want to travel over it. Interestingly enough, you could see this in Eretz Yisrael by Har HaZeisim, where after 1948, the Arabs plowed a road right through the Har HaZeisim. So there's a special derech kayanim that goes around this because the kayanim obviously can't go through the road. We see the problems that could exist if you bury a person right in the middle of the road. Therefore, if a person dies in the middle of a road, he's not kind of that makam, and you have to move him off to the side of the road and then bury him there. Then, in speaking about netilas yadayim, we say that the patur of netilas yadayim is only a patur on regular netilas yadayim, but shechayev on mayim achroinim. And this is because of a sakana. What is the sakana exactly? The sakana is a sakana of melach sedaimus. We're afraid that a person touches this salt. Within this salt, there are some of this melach sedaimus, which is dangerous. And if a person touches his eyes with it, it'll be a sakana. Therefore, you have to wash your hands with mayim achroinim. The top taisus on that daf brings down, but today we're not makpid on mayim achroinim, since melach sedaimus is loy matzoy. However, the Ritva says, because of kavod abracha and birchas hamazon, we should wash our hands mayim achroinim anyway. And the Mechaber in Kuf Pei Aleph Sif Yud says that if your hands are dirty, mitzat hadin, you must wash your hands before benching. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down a gra that agrees with this. And of course, there are many minhagim today for people to wash mayim achroinim. Al Yetzei Ish Mim Kaimai teaches us that Erev Tchumin are min atayra. Rabbi Akiva says there are malchus if a person is over on it. However, most sheet is hold that Erev Tchumin are only midar abonin. But there is a deraisa of Yud Beis Mil. That much is deraisa, is brought down by the Rif and the Rambam. Yud Beis Mil comes from the fact that this was the size of the Machne Yisrael. This concludes the first parak of Mesechta Erevin. Before we go on to the second parak, Mirat Hashem, I would just like to read through some of the main points brought down in the Kitzer Hilchas Erevin, which is an excellent compilation of the halachas of Atzuras HaPesach as written by Reb Shimon Eider a number of years ago. Most of the things here that he brings down about Atzuras HaPesach, which is basically what we use today to be matir or Rishus HaRabim, to be matir an area in order to allow someone to carry, whether it be in a bungalow colony or in a backyard. When you hear a lot of these things, you'll recognize most of them from what we had learned earlier on Dav Vav, Dav Ches, Dav Yud Aleph, Yud Dalad, Tasvav, Tazayin, which bring down some of the halachas of Lechi and Tzuras HaPesach. And I'll read through some of these key points. Obviously, this should not be used to paskin shailas, but rather just sort of as a hazara from some of the things that we learned here in the Masechta. First of all, he talks about a Rishus HaYachid. A Rishus HaYachid is an area that's not less than 4 tvachim square, enclosed by mechitzas, which are not less than 10 tvachim high. And of course, he mentions that private or public ownership has no bearing on the term Rishus HaYachid. He then says that a partition can be constructed from any material consisting of any thickness, as long as it's capable of standing up against a normal wind. And solid walls or bushes can also be used. And existing partitions belonging to someone else's yard can also be used. He brings down the call of Lovud, and he says openings within a partition that are less than 3 tvachim apart are considered filled in, and the parts are considered united as if there's no space, lovud, that exists. And this is, of course, as we mentioned before, in the case of the horizontal or the vertical fence. Partitions that begin more than 3 tvachim from the ground are possible. And this, for example, would be an elevated bungalow built on cinder blocks. Could not be used as a partition to enclose an area. He also brings down that horizontal spaces in a partition between 3 tvachim and 10 amas don't invalidate the partition, as long as the solid portion of the partition is larger than the breach. And this is Ayman Meruba al Haparos. Then he speaks about a Tzuras HaPesach. What is a Tzuras HaPesach? It's a door frame form. And this is 2 mezuzahs on the side with a mashkof on the top. And the mashkof could be something like a horizontal beam or a wire or a cord, which is directly and exactly above the side post. That would make the whole thing a partition. He then says that the side posts may be made of any material and of any thickness, as long as they don't move or sway in a normal wind. And the side posts of the Tzuras HaPesach have to begin on the ground or within 3 tvachim of the ground and have to reach a minimum height of 10 tvachim. And he says there's no maximum height for a Tzuras HaPesach. Then he brings down that this lintel is not required to touch or rest on the side posts. However, the side posts must be directly and exactly underneath this wire. So this wire then also has to be tight, and it has to pass directly over the side posts. Side posts, of course, have to be separate posts. And he brings down that there's no requirement that these side posts have to be constructed specifically for this purpose. In fact, if it's already existing, that's also fine to use as a Tzuras HaPesach. This wire has to be directly above the side post. If it's connected along the side of the side post, then it's pasul. Also, if any of the side posts are within an enclosed area, it's also pasul. We then say that if a fence is not 10 tefachim high, it can be raised by adding an additional horizontal string or a wire within the 3 tefachim on the top of the fence, therefore making it a partition. He says when constructing a Tzuras HaPesach on a flat surface, you have to be careful to make the lintel as level as possible and not too much on an angle. This lintel, the string, should not sag at all. And if a portion is below 10 tefachim, it's pasul. He mentions that each side post of a Tzuras HaPesach should preferably be made of one piece. And a side post underneath a ceiling, which protrudes from a wall 4 tefachim or more, and it's flat, is considered not valid according to some paiskim. The side posts of the Tzuras HaPesach should be constructed within 3 tvachim of a partition, except in case of great necessity. And if a Tzuras HaPesach became pasul on Shabbos, you can have a guy fix it. And of course, finally, he brings down that a Tzuras HaPesach should be inspected every Erev of Shabbos. After a storm, it has to be reinspected. And finally, he mentions, because of the complexities in the halachas of an Erev, before a Tzuras HaPesach is put into use, it should be inspected by a Meira Haira. Now let us begin the second parak of Masechta Erevin, parak Beis, Oisa Pasin. This begins on Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Beis. We have a Mishnah that brings down a special din of Pasei Biros. These are the special pasin boards which were allowed to be made to create an area around a well so that animals could drink water during Aliyah L'Regel. This included 4 double L-shaped posts. Each were perpendicular. Each of the posts had 2 parts to them which were perpendicular with each other, shaped like the letter L. Each of them were 10 tvachim tall, and each of the 2 parts of these boards were 6 tvachim wide. According to Reb Meir, you also added 4 additional mini-posts in between the 4 corners. Reb Meir says the space between the posts is big enough, could be up to 10 amas wide. 10 amas comes from the 2 teams of 3 cows, one group of 3 going in, one group of 3 going out. According to Reb Yehuda, the space is 13 and one-third amas, because it's 2 times 4 teams of cows, one going in and one going out. And the cow is allowed to drink from this well, if Rosho Verubo is within the perimeter of the Pasei Biros. The Mishnah also says it's mutter to extend the perimeter of the area of the Pasei Biros if you add more pasim, and again, there's no distance of more than 10 or 13 and one-third amas between the posts. Daf Yud Ches. As the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda says the total area of the Pasei Biros cannot exceed Beis Sasayim, which is an area where a saw of seeds can be planted is 100 times 50 amas, so we're talking about 2 such areas. And then we have the Amrullah, that say that this particular chumrah is only by a gan or a karpaf, an area for non-human use, such as storage. But if it's for human use, for example, a muktzah, which is a backyard, or a chutzah, which is a courtyard, or for animal use, a tzir or a sar, it's okay even if the whole area is as big as chamisha baskur, which is 75 times bigger than Bez Sosayim. The Gemara then wants to show that the Mishnah is not like Hananya or Rabbi Akiva, and we bring down Afgaminas regarding bor or be'er. A bor is a pit versus a be'er, which is a spring of water, or walls, whether it's Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabbah. The Gemara then says that Adam actually had two faces, one in front and one in the back, and there are different pshatim here, whether it means two faces mamish, it means one was a male face and one was a female, or it means that he had a tail. Then it says, Nivra HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'chava kebinyan, like a storage house, Rachav milamata, wide at the bottom, Kotzer milamala, and narrow at the top. This is so that a woman should be able to carry a baby properly. Vayeviyeha Eloha Adam, speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing Chava to Adam, Hashem brought Chava to Adam, teaches us the mitzvah of making Shiduchim, Shushvinis. And this is even if a case where a shadchan is a gadol be Yisrael, still he should be making shidduchim for people smaller than him. We then say, kol ha'ayver achare ha'isha banar, anybody who walks behind a woman crossing over a river, in other words, he looks at her, ein lechelek la'aylam haba. We then said if a person exchanges money with a woman just to be able to look at her, la'yanake medina shal gehenim. The Gemara then says, mikse shvachai shal adam befanav, the kulay shalay b'fanav, a person should say shvach to a person only part of the shvach while he's in front of him, but he could say everything when he's not in front of him. And we see this where HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about nayach. Ki aishchara isai tzaddik, we see he calls him a tzaddik in front of him, but nayach ish tzaddik tamim haya b'dayreisav, we see that he calls him not only a tzaddik but a tzaddik tamim, and then he refers to him when it's not in front of him. So mikta shvachay b'fanav, the kulay shalay b'fanav. The Gemara then says, "Kol bayis shenishmaim by divrei Torah, b'layla, any house that we say that has Torah spoken in it, beautiful Torah spoken in it at night, shubein and nechrav, cannot be destroyed." Daf Yotes. We say that midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the midas of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes people, is not like midas of basar v'dam. We then say that the purpose of a karban, of a sacrifice, is really that the person who's bringing the karban, he should have died himself to be mechaper. But the carbon ends up taking the place. The carbon ends up dying instead of this person. We then say, Paishi Yisrael chayzim b'tshuva al pischa gehenim. People, B'nai Yisrael, who are sinners, end up being chayzim b'tshuva al pischa gehenim. Mashen came by Goyim, who are not chayzim b'tshuva, even on the pischa gehenim. The Gemara says, a person who pushes his foreskin back so it looks like he didn't have a mila, or he's bayel an ayved kechavim, he lives with a non-Jewish woman, Avram doesn't come to take care of him. Since these particular things, the Mila and a person living with a Jewish woman, these testify for Kedushas Yisrael, but if a person breaks these things, then he's not under the protection of Avram Avinu. We then say that there are seven different names for Gehenim. And we say that Reisha Verubai Shalpara, which we referred to in the Mishnah, that Reisha Verubai Shalpara has to be within the confines of the Pasei Biras. This is 2 amas, a distance of 2 amas. We then say that the special shita of Rabbi Yehuda, which says the distance between the Pasei Biras is 13 and 1/3 amas, is only by Pasei Biras. However, by regular machitzas, where we normally have the shear of 10 amas, he agrees that a pirtza of more than 10 amas would passel the machitza. We then say a tel hamislaket, a hill which is more than 10 amas tall, or a square or a circular stone of at least 1 by 1 amma, since as it's carved out, it can appear to be a perpendicular Pasei Biras, it can be used as one of the 4 walls. We then say chitzas hakonim, little sticks that are less than 3 tefachim apart, i.e. lavud, they can be used also. Rabbi Kiva Eger brings down that we see 2 halacha l'moshe misinais can be used in tandem even if they rely on each other. What are the 2 halacha l'moshe misinais? 1 lavud, 2 Pasei Biras. The 2 of these work together and you're matir them together. A big chatzar that leads right into a Pasei Biras, and you can see this in diagram number 18 in Sefer Perish Chai, you're allowed to carry between them. We then say Yavshu Mayim B'Shabbos. Let's say the well water, the water that was in the wells, dried out on Shabbos. The Pasi Baros become Aser. However, if it rained again on Shabbos and the water, the wells filled up, then it's Mutter. Why? Because Kol Mechitza Asuya B'Shabbos Ishma Mechitza. We then say that a behema has to be Roshay V'Rubay Mibifnim, within the confines of the Pasi Baros, in order for him to drink. And then we say that a person cannot mamish give the behema to drink within the Pasi Baros, but rather he should pour the water on the ground or into an avos, into a trough, so he can drink from that. Daf Chaf Aleph. The heter of Pasi Baros is only for behemas, but not for people. A person wants to drink from this be'er, he has to mamish climb down into the be'er. Then we say, Ein Burganin Bebavel Eibechutz La'aretz. A Burganin is a secondary hut that is within the 70 amos of the city, but is actually outside the walls of the city. We say that if this would be mutter, the 2,000 amos of Erev Tchumen would begin from that point, not from the walls of the city. In Babel, we say it's no good, since there are a lot of dams, and if one comes down, water can actually come and wash this away. And in Chutz La'aretz, we say it's no good, because Ganavim can steal it. We then say a number of different nevuas on the Amkus Shel Torah. We bring down then a number of psukim from Shir HaShirim. Hadudayim Nosnu Reach is referring to the Bachurei Yisrael Shalei Ta'am Chet. The Al Pisachenu Kol Megadim is referring to the Benos Yisrael, that their Megidais, the Pischehem Lebaleim, which is the Pischei Nida. Chadashim Gam Yishanim is referring to the Mitzvahs Kalas, Elo Mitzvahs Kalas, the Elo Mitzvahs Chamuras. We then say the important klal of kol ha'over al divrei seifrim, anybody who's over on Isser Darabanan is chayev misa. And then we have numerous other psukim from Shir HaShirim, which we darshan about the limud of Torah. We then say Shleim HaMelech, who's tikein erev chatzeres, and the tefillah sidayim, which were actually chumras, in order to make people aware. Daf Chaf Beis. Asher anaychi mitzavcha hayoyim, we say Hayoyim La Saisam, today you're supposed to do the mitzvahs. Lamachar, in the future, in other words, referring to Eilam Hava, is the Kabel Scharam. We then have a Mishnah that says if a path of Rishus HaRabim cuts through the Pasei Biros, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's possible, unless you move this path away. Why? Because Asu Rabim Mevatle Mechitzta. Once the Rabim come through, they're Mevatle Mechitzta. According to Rabban, it's still okay, and it's considered a Rishus Hayachit. The Rambam brings down Paskin like the Chachamim, and the Rif and the Ritva Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And we then bring a Raya according to Rabbi Yehuda, because we say if the doors of Yerushalayim wouldn't have been closed at night, it would have been considered a Rishus HaRabim. Therefore you see, just like Rabbi Yehuda, that if a path of Rishus HaRabim cuts through it, it's considered Pasul. We then say Eretz Yisrael Ein Chayavin Aleha Mishum Rishus HaRabim. Eretz Yisrael is not considered Chayav al Rishus HaRabim, because we say Mishum de Makifla Sulma de Tsura Mehach Gisa. It's surrounded by rocky heights on one side. Umachtana de Goder Mehach Gisa. And on the other side, it's surrounded by valleys. Then, of course, the Gemara then asks, Sabavil Nami Makifla Pras Mehach Gisa. The Diglas Mehach Gisa. It's surrounded by the Euphrates on one side and the Tigris River on the other side. And the Gemara asks, the whole world too. The Kuli Alma Nami Makif Ukyanus. The whole world is surrounded by the Ukyanus, by the oceans, so also. And the Gemara brings down Tel HaMislaket, a hill which is more than 10 high, the Rabim Baikimba, Eschayev, Altrishus HaRabim. We then have a Mishnah that says Pasei Biras, according to Rabbi Akiva, Pasei Biras are Mutter Bebe'er Rabim, a well of Rishus HaRabim, a Be'er Yachid, a well of Rishus HaYachid, and a Bor, which is a pit with water in it, of Rishus HaRabim, of a Rabim which belongs to a lot of people. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is machalak on this and says Pasei Biros are only mutter bebe'er rabim, and this is how we paskan. Daf Chof Gimel. If we have a karpaf which is yaser mibeis asayim, in other words, more than 5,000 square amas, and rive of it is planted, therefore it's not considered hukaf ladira. No matter how big this rive is, the miyut, which is for personal use, is still aser b'haitza. So the entire karpaf is now asar b'haitza. However, if only a miyut is planted, so if this miyut is less than beis asayim, So the miyud is batal to the rest of the karpaf, which is for people to use, and therefore it's mutter to carry within it. However, if this miyut is more than yoisim yibeis asayim, so it's considered chashiv, although it's only a miyut, but it's still considered chashiv. Therefore, it would be asur to carry within the entire karpaf. Daf chaf dalet. We speak about tumas sandal, and then we say Amar Rab Kahana, rachba, which is a backyard, she yoisim yibeis asayim. However, we say avolim pasach loy pesach. Let's say you created an opening between the house and this backyard, then it's mutter. But we say this heter is only good im pasach ulebesayf hukaf, which would clearly show that it's clearly ladira. In other words, first you made the pesach, then you were hukaf around it. That shows it's clearly ladira, then it would be mutter. Otherwise, even in that case, it would be aser. Then we bring down a case, a karpaf, that was yoyser mibeis asayim, and it was hukaf, and it became flooded with water. See Sefer Perish Chai, diagram number 84. So if the water was fit for usage, in other words, as the Gemara refers to it, it was chazyon l'tashmisham, then it's okay to carry it. Rashi says, mutter, fit to be used, is fit to drink. According to the Rashba, he brings down, it's not that perfect, but it's fit to do a laundry with it. However, we say that if it's murky water, then you're not allowed to carry within it. And we also say that this whole thing that you're not allowed to carry if the water is murky, that it's no good, is only if it's not more than 10 tefachim deep. Otherwise, even if it's murky, you're allowed to carry within it. We then have a very complex case of a rachva that was in Pum Nahara. This is referring to a case that there was a Rishus HaRabim, which then had a Tzuras HaPesach, which led into a Mavoy, which then led into a Rachava, which led into a path, a vineyard, which then led to a river. Finally, the Gemara says, Ein Eisim Mechitza Al Gabi Mechitza. Daf Chaf Hei. Karpaf Yosem Yibeis HaSayim Shalei Hukaf Ladira. We have a number of options that are brought down on how to reduce this area, so it's now less than Beis HaSayim, in order to be maturit, or to convert it so it becomes hukaf ladir. What are these options? Miutai imi lainais. Let's say a person reduces the area by planting trees, so now the total open area is less than beis asayim. We say that's loihavi miyud, and it's usur to carry. We also have a case of bana amud. You put a pillar, gavaya asara, verachak dalad, verachav dalad. So then we say, afilu beemtza karpaf, even if it's sitting smack in the middle of the karpaf, that's okay. That's how Rashi learns. Hirchiv min hakais al dalad. Let's say a person puts up, makes a machitza that's more than dalad tefachim away from the wall, so therefore it's not loved. This is considered a miyud according to Rabba. Rava argues on it. Tach by tit, a person puts mud inside of the walls, so now he makes the area less than beis asayim. That's also considered a miyud according to Rabba. Rava argues on it. And aisa machitza al hatel, if a person makes a machitza on a hill, it also helps, and we say this helps even according to Rav Sheshes. The Gemara then brings down a ger who dies, who did not have children while he was Jewish. Now, if a ger does not have children while he's Jewish, he's considered relativeless, as if he did not have any relatives, and his estate becomes hefker. We then bring down a case where we ask if pi tikra is yared v'saisim. In other words, can the edge of a roof be extended downward to create an imaginary machitza that divides a karpaf? And this can be seen in the Sefer Perish Chai in diagram number 110. We then have a question of if a karpaf leads into a chatzar, what happens? And then we have a case where a wall of a palace which fell down into the palace's adjacent orchard, and this orchard was yoser mibeis asayim. So before, this whole orchard was hukaf ladira. Now because this wall fell in, it loses its status of hukaf ladira. So we say that it's usur to carry within it. Then we bring down a case of an avarnika. An avarnika is a pavilion in the middle of an orchard. In other words, they had built a picnic pavilion in an enclosed in an orchard, and this orchard is less than beis asayim, but is loy hukaf ladira. And this was built after the orchard was there. According to Rav, he says that it's okay to carry it now within the entire orchard. Is now the pavilion, since the pavilion is hukaf ladira, it makes the entire orchard hukaf ladira. But Rav Huna paskins that it's usher to carry in it, since originally it was not hukaf ladira, and we actually paskin like Rav Huna. Taf chaf vav. The Gemara brings down numerous kashas on Rava, by an avarnika, whether it can change something. Rava had said that the avarnika, in the middle of this, changes the entire orchard into a situation of hukaf ladira. So the questions that are brought are, number one, ir chadasha, we say, maididin mi yeshivasa. And ir chadasha is that the walls were built first, then the houses were built. So you measure of a 2,000 amas from the places of habitation. But an ir yeshana is a city that has first the houses, then the walls. Maididin mi chaymasa. You actually measure it from the walls. So we see that now, the fact that we have houses which were built later on does not change the status into hukaf ladira. That's one kasha in Rav. We also have a case of mechitzas dilatzniyusa loishmei mechitza, which is mechitzas that were done for construction workers to shield them from the sun. Again, we see a raya against Rav. And finally, we have a case of mechitza lenachas, which were for storage, also loishmei mechitza. Again, a raya against Rav, and therefore we paskin like Rav Huna. Finally, we say that if a person forgot to be part of an Erev, he cannot carry between his house and the Chotzer. That's the end of the second parak of Masechta Erevin. Now we will begin the third parak of Masechta Erevin, Parak Bakol Ma'arvin. As Akdama to this parak basically talks about Eruvei Tchumin. As we know, a person cannot walk more than 2,000 amos on Shabbos from his Makom Shvisa. If a person is actually within a city, this particular borderline begins at the city border, not within the place that you actually are. So you have 2,000 amas to walk from the borderline of the city. The makom mischal during the period of Bein Hashmashes, wherever your makom shvisa was at that point, that becomes your makom shvisa for the entire Shabbos. We have a Mishnah here, which says that any kind of food can be used for an Erev Tchumen. And in fact, this particular halacha also applies for all Erev Chatzeres also. And not only that, we say that even food that's normally usher to a person, for example, a nazir, who can normally not use wine or drink wine, even in that case, a person can use that item that's usher to him. So a nazir can use wine for an Erev Tchumen. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Ein lamidin min haklolos, v'afilu b'makom shenamar bay chutz. We cannot learn from general rules, because sometimes these rules were taught without listing specific exceptions to these rules. And even in a case where the rule concludes by saying the word except, in other words, where it lists specific exceptions to these rules, still we can't assume that no other exceptions exist. And the Gemara tries to bring rias for Rabbi Yochanan's statement. For example, the Gemara says, Kol mitzvah aseisha hazman grama, nashim peturus, v'shaloi hazman grama, anashim v'nashim chayavin. There you have the word kol, which seems to include everything. However, we know that even though matzah, samachta b'chagecha, and hakyal, are mitzvahs aseh shazman grama, we still know that nashim are chayav in them anyway. And not only that, Talmud Torah, period Rivya, and Pidyon HaBen, they're not zman grama, yet nal nashim are pater in them. So therefore we have a riot for Rabbi Yochanan, and we bring other riots along the same line of thinking. The Gemara then says that truffles and mushrooms are usur to use as an Erev. And then we bring the principle of havola, by the money, maos of maaser sheni. We learn, for example, by a case of ben bagbag, that once you purchase something with maos maaser sheni, for example, like a cow, you can also purchase secondary items also. For example, like the hides of the animals, you can purchase them too once you're purchasing the regular item for maaser sheni. We then have the pasuk v'nasata Hakesef b'chol asher tava nafshecha, v'abokar u'batzayin, v'ayayin u'bashechar, u'b'chol asher tishalcha nafshecha. We see from here that these four things and all things that are pre and gedulei karka can be bought with meiser sheni money. We then bring them that are two different limudim in psukim that are similar but yet not exactly similar. Klalu prat and riboy u'miut. The nafkamina, depending on which you hold, is whether you can buy fish or not with meiser sheni money. What exactly is the difference between these two? In the case of a klal uprat, the restrictive verse is an explanation of the broader verse. Therefore, what ends up happening is that the restrictive verse becomes the primary legal statement, and therefore most of the halachas will fall along the restrictive verse.
However, when you're dealing with a riboy umiyut, the restrictive verse basically cites some sort of an exception to the general rule. Therefore, what it does is it modifies the broader primary statement, and it allows you to be more kula, allows you to be more makel, because it's more broad in that sense. Therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, in the pasuk of Inasata HaKesef, which is the riboy, and the Babakor Ubatsayin, which is the miyut is a modifier on the broader statement, which would in turn open the door for more items to potentially be part of a total package of items mutter for Maisa Sheini. Daf Chaf Ches. Eichel Neima, if you eat an ant, like a chamesh, you get five punishments for five Isurim, five punishments in Malkus. These psukim are all found in Vayikra, Perek, Yud Aleph, regarding Shratzim, Al Tishaktsu, etc. Then we have in Yanim of Klal Uprat, Klal Upratu Klal, etc. We have here Klal Uprat. The halacha by Klal Uprat is Ein Bichlal Elama Shebeprat. The generalization contains only that which is in the specific specification of the Prat. Then we have Pratu Klal. The rule by Klal Uprat, Prat Uklal, is Nasa Klal Maisif Al HaPrat. The generalization adds to the specification, and a person can include everything within the generalization, even that which is not similar to the specification. And finally, we have Klal Upratu Klal. The rule here is Yata Don Ela Kein HaPrat. One can only learn only that which resembles the specification of the Prat. The Gemara then says Ma'arvin V'Pa'apuin Ubechal Yalaigais Ubegud Gedaniais Avalai Bechaziz Velai Bekafniais. Chaziz is green grains, and Kafnias is non-mature dates. And this is because these are not usually eaten. We then say radishes are the bracha bari pri adama. We say the bracha on kishus, which is haps, is bari pri adama, and on chaziz, which is green grains, is shahakol, since it's not fully developed. Akar, palm hearts, Rabbi Yehuda says bari pri adama, and Shmuel, as we paskin like, says shahakol mishum saifei lahakshais. The shear of kishus for an erev is kemalei hayod, like a handful. Daf chavtes. Cooked beets are good for the heart, for the eyes, and for the stomach. We then say after eating two beitzim of eichel tmeya, a person can't eat truma until he goes to a mikveh. We say that shear of maaser sheni is equal to mazain lishtei sudas, and you can be mitzarif different things to get to the shear of mazain lishtei sudas. We say the shear to use yayin for an erev is two revias. The Gemara says it's dangerous to eat the seed part of onions, which is the root. We say that beer, shechar, is good for an erev since it's satisfying. And we also say that beer, shechar, also passels a mikveh, bishleisha, lugin. This is referring to water, and specifically we know that a mikveh has to have 40 saw, megishamim, or spring water, which was never held in a kli. If three lugin of mayim shu'uvin, mayim which was drawn from a utensil, entered the mikveh before it was full of 40 saw, it's passel because of these shu'uvin. A saw is incidentally 6 kabin, or about 3 gallons. After the 40 saw, it's okay to put shu'uvin in it, unless the new liquid changes the color of the mikveh. Beer, which is mostly water, is considered just like water, and apostles the mikveh regarding mayim she'uvin. The Gemara then says the shear for beer as an erev is 2/4 of a kav, and 1 kav is equal to 4 lugin. We say that shear kiddush on Shabbos is rei revius halayg, and shear of tamarim for an erev is a kav. Finally, the Gemara says that the minimum shear for begadim legabi tuma is for an usher shleishal shleisha tvachim, for an ani shleishal shleisha tzbais. Daf lamed. Shear mazon l'shtei sudas varies depending on the person. We speak about the quality of the peres genaisar, which is from the Kinneret. We say ein ma'arvin behekdish, and then we say according to Beis Shammai ein ma'arvin lenazir b'yayin or b'yisrael b'truma. But we say according to Beis Hillel that it's okay. We say that Beis Shammai is ma'ida, that ma'arvin legadol achila b'yayim ha'kipurim, because mi'ba'id yam and yam kippur, right before yam kippur starts, there is a suda that's rai mi'ba'id yam before shkia. We then have a machlekes Rebbe and the Rabbanan, if yisurim the Rabbanan is chal b'en ashmashas. According to Rabbanan, yes it is. According to Rebbe, it's no. Mishum Safik, the Rabbanan lahakel, and we paskin like Rebbe. We say that the shear of a drinking on Yom Kippur is kamoli lugma. And finally, we say that a kohen can put his erev inside a beis hakvaras, because technically, he can be transported via sheda tevu migdal, which is a mobile oihel. At a fi Rav Yehuda, this is okay, since oihel zarek, which is a mobile oihel, ishmei oihel.